Turn with me in the Bible to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. We're going to continue this morning in our study of the life of Christ and knowing Jesus. Jesus said, when he was praying to his Father, he said, "This is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." So we're studying the life of Christ, learning to know Jesus, and it's a learning process, and seeing what he revealed to us. Because as we look at his life, remember, he was a model and example to us. He said, "Follow me." The Bible says we follow in his footsteps, and the things that he encountered, we encounter. The life that he led is the life that God desires us to lead. We're never going to be perfect, but we are pursuing him with all of our hearts, right? We are Christ followers. That's what a Christian is, a follower of Christ. So we're going to look at this today, and as we look at his life, we see the things that he encountered. A couple of weeks ago, we saw that he was rejected in his hometown, rejected by people who knew him all of his life, and I could not believe that he was the Messiah, God incarnate. And so they drove him out of town. So we find that our Lord came against rejection, so do we come against rejection also. Now, very interesting part of Scripture here. When he left Nazareth, he went up to Capernaum, not too far away. Actually down to Capernaum, it says, because Jerusalem was at the high point. And verse 31 of Luke chapter 4, it says, "And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, 'Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, 'What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out.' And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve. And now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, 'You are the Son of God.' But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ, the Messiah." What a powerful passage of Scripture this is, packed with teaching for us. Now again, the life of Christ reveals reality. And in these cases, he reveals that life entails both the physical realm and the spiritual realm, the visible and the invisible. Now the dominant worldview in our country right now is secular humanism, taught in every school, every college, permeating our nation right now. And secular humanism teaches there is no supernatural, there is no invisible. This is what our kids are getting in public schools. There is no invisible. There is no God. What you see is all there is. They are naturalists. Okay? This is all we've got. There is no soul. There is no afterlife. You live, you die, and that's it. We're all products of evolution. And that's what's being fed to this next generation coming up. But Jesus and his life and God's word reveals a whole different reality. In fact, it reveals the truth about life. And life entails both the physical world and the spiritual world. There's a lot going on in the invisible realm that we don't see that we have to be very aware of. Okay? So Jesus comes into the synagogue, and guess what's in the synagogue? A demon. Now, the synagogue is the place where God's word is taught, right? It's a place where people gather to worship God. It's a place where they stand on especially the Torah and the law and the prophets. What is a demon doing there? Why would they want to be there? You know why? Because demons love religion. They love religion. They love hypocrisy. They love to distract people. They love to be involved in people just going through the motions but not really honoring the Lord. This is what they do. So you have a demon here where God's word is read and taught. Do you think demons hang out in churches? Oh, yes. Do you think they are always working, trying to snatch God's word from our hearts? As soon as we get out of this room, we start heading to our cars. Demonic forces start to take the God's word away so that we hear it, but we don't apply it. Just like Pete was talking about with the kids. You know, it's okay to listen to God's word just so you don't do it. They're working overtime all the time. Now, interesting too here is that the demons knew who Jesus was. You are the Holy One. You are the Messiah. You are Almighty God incarnate. We know you. The demons knew who Jesus was. You know who didn't know who Jesus was? Everybody else. Those in the synagogue didn't know who Jesus was. The disciples, Jesus was here with some of his disciples. They didn't know really who Jesus was. Only the demons knew who he was. In fact, hold your finger here. Go to John chapter 6. Go to just to the right, a couple gospels, to the gospel of John chapter 6. And we find out something interesting here. The demons knew who Jesus was. The disciples learned who Jesus was. They were learning this. And look what it says here in John chapter 6, beginning with verse 66. Jesus had been talking to the crowds about following him. And it says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus turned to the 12. Do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed, and look what he says here, we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Same words that the demons used. We have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You know, in our congregation, there are many young Christians, new Christians. And growing to know God is a lifetime walk with him. When you first come to Christ, you realize that he died for our sins and he freed us from the bondage of sin and the bondage of the enemy. But we don't really know him yet. As we grow in the Lord over the years, you realize how awesome he is, how sovereign he is, how much in control that he is, how faithful he is, how merciful he is, how marvelously he answers prayer. That's a growing knowledge, right? We grow to know God. And this is what the disciples did. They were learning that he was indeed Almighty God incarnate, the Messiah. We believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. But here back in Luke chapter 4, the demons already knew that. They knew who Jesus was. Now, I want to take a little time today. As far as this is an information morning, but we need a big heads up in this area because it's easy to forget. And there are many people I found, especially people who come to Grand County from other parts of the country, who've never been taught in the area of the demonic realm. So God's word speaks a lot about this area, and we need to take a look at it here today. Number one, this demon here, demons are evil spirits, and they have different levels of evil activity in the lives of people. This is a reality that God shows us here about life. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, and this is in your notes, Jesus gives us some powerful insights into this realm of demons. Now, demons are fallen angels. Everybody know that? One-third of the angels fell from heaven, came to earth. Praise God, two-thirds of the angels are on our side. How many are grateful for that? Huh? Praise God. But there are myriads of dark, evil spirits, workers of Satan, that are here on earth right now doing Satan's bidding. They are adversaries to the church, adversaries to Jesus Christ, attacking primarily Christians. Why don't they attack non-Christians that much? Because they already got them. The demons already have them. Non-Christians outside of the kingdom. We find the spiritual warfare taking place in the church among Christians. And Jesus gives us some real insights here. He says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, so right away we realize they work in and through people. They have access some way to us. When it goes out of a person, it passes through. Now, notice demons are never called he or she. There's no sex. They're always called its in the Bible. When it goes out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, but finds none. What's that talking about? They're looking for another person to influence. These are spirits that leave and come and go. Then it says, so we realize spirits can talk. Obviously, here in Luke chapter 4, that spirit spoke, and guess what? It spoke Hebrew. We read it in English. That spirit spoke Hebrew. They speak different languages. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. So he's talking about a person here. And when it comes, it finds a house empty, swept, and put in order. Key word there is empty. The house is put in order, but there's nothing in it. You know, whenever spirits leave people, especially when you come to Christ, Satan's power is broken over your life. You need to fill your life up with the Word of God, with Christian fellowship, with prayer. We got to fill our lives up or those spirits will come back. They'll come back. Jesus has given us a great insight here into this demonic realm. And when it comes back, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits. So there's camaraderie between these demonic forces. And there's different levels of evil. And he brings back seven spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Wow. What insights we have there about this demonic realm we're being confronted with all the time. And there are many Christians who don't even think about it. I mean, how many of us, I know before I was a Christian, I didn't even believe in Satan. I was totally agnostic, totally humanistic. I didn't believe there was any supernatural or anything like that. I thought it was just a lot of hokey pokey. But it's real. And we see Jesus revealing this to us. Demons are workers of Satan. Turn with me to these few scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 6. It's a familiar passage of scripture here to many. But Ephesians 6 gives us another insight here. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, so we don't wrestle against people, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Frank Peretti's book, This Present Darkness, comes out of this verse. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There is a whole lot going on that we don't see. Would you agree with me there? Spiritual forces in the heavenly places, authorities, evil forces, cosmic powers. That's what this demonic realm entails here. And we're in a battle. And Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we have the weapons that God has given us to confront them. And they're spiritual weapons. The Word of God, faith, salvation, the gospel, these are things that we have that we can move into Satan's territory and see lives set free. Again, we've learned that those who are not in the kingdom of God are in the kingdom of Satan. There are only two kingdoms. If you're not walking with the Lord, you are following evil spirits. Now, we see some other insights with the realm of these demons. In 1 Corinthians 10, turn over there with me. This is a powerful passage of Scripture and very enlightening to us. This passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 10 actually is talking about communion. Breaking bread, talking about the cup of blessing and the bread that we partake in. We're partaking with all brothers and sisters around the world. It's a participation in one loaf, the bread of life. And in verse 18, 1 Corinthians 10, it says, Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? And what do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, an idol isn't anything. No, I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? See, he's talking about demonic forces here. In Vine's Expository Dictionary, they have a great phrase here. It says, Demons are spiritual agents acting in all idolatry. The idol itself is nothing, but every idol has a demon associated with it who induces idolatry with its worship and its sacrifices. Okay? Every idol has a demon attached to it. There is so much in our world today that we think is just innocent. Years ago, when I was a chaplain with the Aurora Police Department, I got a call to talk to this young boy. He's a junior in high school at East High School in Denver. And his mother had called the police. A detective went over there and met with her. Her son was just going spiraling downhill. For the last couple of years, he was getting involved with a lot of different kinds of dark music. He was dressing differently. His grades went down, and finally he wrote a note, and his mother found it about suicide. He was getting ready to commit suicide. So she calls the police. Detective brings the boy into the office there, and they call me as a police chaplain to go down and talk to him. You know what? God's word gives us such an advantage. We have such insight into life through the Word of God. When I was in college, I was a psych major, psychology and sociology minor. I wanted to help people with their problems. You know what that would have been? The blind leading the blind. That's what that would have been. I wouldn't have had any answers to life. But with God's Word, we have answers. And so I sat down with this young boy, and he has got this paraphernalia on. He has upside down crosses on his earrings. He's got swastikas and KISS, the rock band Knights in Satan's Service that he was listening to all the time, satanic group. There was all this satanic pentagrams and everything else that he was wearing. He had dyed his hair more black than it was, and he just looked troubled and dark. And so I started talking to him about his life, and I said, you know, I hear you were a great student when you were in middle school and in your first year in high school. What happened? And why are you wearing all this stuff? Tell me about it. And he goes, well, I said, are you into Satan? He goes, no, I'm not into Satan. And I said, well, it sure looks like you are with the way you're dressing. And he goes, no. He said, let me tell you why I do this. He said, I just wear this stuff because at East High School, the blacks beat up on the Hispanics. This boy was Hispanic. And he said, but if they think you're into Satan, they leave you alone. If they think you're into Satan, they leave you alone. So I wear it for power. I said, is it working? He said, yeah, people don't pick on me. I said, do you realize that this stuff you're wearing is not innocent? That there's demons attached to this? Did you ever think that you would begin to just not care about school and change the way you're talking to your mother? Did you ever think that your grades would go down the way they are? Did you ever think that you'd be having suicidal thoughts? He said, no. And I got to talk to him about the fact that demons are attached to these kinds of things. Some of the things he was wearing are used in satanic worship. He thought you could just buy it in trinket stores, no big deal. You know, stuff that you can buy in department stores have satanic attachments to them. You know the saying when someone says, well, it didn't work out for me, it just wasn't in the cards. Anybody ever hear that? It's just not in the cards. You know where that comes from? Tarot cards. Tarot cards are when a fortune teller lays out these cards and tells you your future, whether it's going to be good or bad. They flip over cards. Everybody know what tarot cards are? You better. You can buy them in department stores. They are extremely satanic and open you up to satanic spirits. So are Ouija boards. So are many other games. Some of the games that our kids play on apps and on computers are very satanic. And they have attachments to them. So I talked to this young boy about that. He'd never even heard of that before. And I said, get rid of this paraphernalia and Christ can protect you from these boys. What you need is Jesus, because this stuff is taking you down and these demons are there to cause you to self-destruct, and that's what's happening to your life. And he was surprised. So he left and didn't see him anymore. In fact, I never saw him again. But 3 weeks later, the detective that was working the case came to me and said, Doug, you talked to that young boy here 3 weeks ago. And I said, yeah. He said, I saw him at East High School here this week. I didn't even recognize him. He's totally different. He's not wearing that stuff anymore. He's bright. He's happy. His relationship is doing much better with his dad. I said, thank you. Praise God. You see, we think it's innocent. It is not innocent. And we need to have a heads up for our kids, things that are out there. There are demons attached. Things that we buy in stores. You go to native Indian stores, okay? There are some things in there that are really cool, arrowheads and that, but there are other things that are used for Indian spirit worship. You better be careful you don't have those things hanging around your house. Because demons are attached to idols. And some people think, oh, well, I got a little Buddha here. I got this when I was over in Asia. And I got this Hindu. These are kind of Hindu gods, but they're just kind of neat things to have around. There are demons attached to that kind of stuff. Years ago, first time I learned this was when a lady came to our church, and she came up to me. She had visited the church a couple times, and she says, I don't know what to do with my daughter. And I said, what's wrong? She goes, my daughter moved out of her bedroom and moved into my closet, and she will not leave my closet. That's where she sleeps every night. She has her pillow in there, her little light stand. Her daughter was about 13 years old, maybe 12 years old. And I don't know what's wrong. She won't go into her room anymore. I said, did she ever have a problem there before? No, it's just been recently. I said, well, have there been any changes? She said, well, the only thing that's happened is my husband came back from a trip, and he brought all this kind of stuff with him. And so we put it around the house and put some things in her room. And ever since we did that, she won't go in her room anymore. I said, can I come over? She said, sure. So we went over there and looked around. And some of it, there was a dark spirit in her house, for one thing. And I didn't know where this stuff had been, what it would have been used for. But I asked that little girl, I took her into her bedroom, and I said, anything in here scare you? She goes, that, that, and that. I said, get him out of here. And we had a big bag, and we went through her house, and we did a house cleaning. And I prayed and commanded those spirits to leave. And you know what? That night, the lady got back with me the next week. She says, after you left, my daughter said, I'm okay now. Move back into her room. I mean, don't ask me to explain that. But I know what Scripture reveals to us, and I know these things are real. There's a couple in our area up here in Grand County. I was over visiting them one night, and they said, Doug, while you're here, can you tell us what's going on over here? They took me upstairs, and there's a bedroom up there. And they said, there's something in that room that is, we can't go in there. In fact, not only do we don't feel comfortable in there, my dog won't go in there. He goes into every place in the house. He will not go into that room. They called the dog over. They could not get the dog to go in that room. They went in the room. The dog would not go in that room. And you could feel, again, you could feel this bad darkness there. I couldn't explain it. I said, well, tell me about the room. The guy said, well, my ex-wife, she was into the occult. She was into witchcraft. I don't know what she did in this room, but she's left, and we can't go in there anymore. And I said, well, there's probably spirit there. So I walked in the room, commanded that thing to be gone in the name of Jesus. And you could sense more peace in there. And so I said, I think you're going to be okay now. Sure enough, they got back with me that week. They said, you know, that night after you left, the first thing that went into the room was our dog. The dog ran in the room. They've used that room ever since. These things are real. And we have to know that they're out there. They're trying always to attack us, always to distract us, always to dilute the Word of God, always tempting us not to do what God wants us to do. Always working. And it goes on to say in the Scriptures, all people are influenced by demons. Every person, every one of you in this room has been influenced by demonic activity. We can't get away from it. Here it says in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and he says, and you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. Led astray. Who was leading you astray to mute idols? Satan and his forces were. However you were led. See, people think I'm in charge of my life. I make choices in my life. Nobody makes choices without being influenced by something. You're going to be either influenced by the Spirit of God, or you're going to be influenced by demonic spirits. And they tempt us, and they induce thoughts, and we start acting on those thoughts. And they have a field day with our lives, destroying our life, destroying other relationships. They're masters at that. And they don't age. They know human nature. They've been here since the creation of the world. They can't read our thoughts. They don't know what we're thinking. Only God is all-knowing. But they know human nature. And they know how to manipulate, because we're all made out of the same clay. Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So when you're dead in your trespasses, you're away from Christ, you are being led by Satan and his forces, like the Pied Piper, and we don't even realize it. My son-in-law, Brad, who leads worship, he's leading worship here today, from Canada had never been taught much at all about the spirit realm and never had been confronted with a demon. Now, I don't know about your house, but pastors and leadership, we get confronted all the time with this stuff. And I have in my life many, many times. One of our children years ago got into a demonic game and a spirit was in our house. And this was what I would call an unclean spirit. And it was just a putrid smell. And one day I went down and realized what was going on and got rid of it. But about 2 years later, my son moved out. And Brad and Angie, my daughter and son-in-law, went down to paint the room. And as they were painting the room, this smell filled this room. Again, just all of a sudden. And at first when I smelled it, I thought maybe something died, but it was a lot worse than a dead mouse or anything like that. I mean, it was really bad. Never smell anything like that. Anyway, they're in the room. So Brad comes upstairs. He goes, Dad, there's this smell in this room that all of a sudden, we don't know what it is. It's just putrid. I said, it's a demon. And I said, he goes, well, will you come down here quick? I said, no, you go down there and tell that thing to leave. He had never done that before. Never done that. He goes, oh, I said, you got the power? You go down and tell that thing to get out of there. So Brad goes downstairs. Him and Angie stand there, and they command that demon to get out of that room in the name of Jesus, and that smell dissipates. He said it was so distinct that when he walked out of the bedroom, it was like a veil right over that. Couldn't smell anything out in the hallway. You'd walk right in, it was right there. Now, some of you think, Doug, maybe you need medication here. Dedication, not medication. These are real. And Brad learned. You know what he came up? He was stoked when he came up. He said, it left. That's right. We have power over all the power of the enemy. You know why? What it says here in James chapter 2:19. James says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. They shudder at God. They shudder at the name of Jesus. They know who He is. And when we command them to leave, they leave. Do you think that there's a lot of things that's going on in our life that could be demonic related that we don't even realize sometimes? We just kind of put up with? Yeah, there is. You ever drive through a neighborhood, drive down into Denver, and you feel a darkness over one neighborhood and light over the next neighborhood, and you think, oh, that's kind of strange. Maybe it's the trees or the landscaping. There are authorities and there are powers. And we let them in or we drive them out. You know what the Greek word, by the way, for witchcraft is and sorcery? Pharmakia, from which we get our word pharmacy. Why would the word for pharmacy be associated with witchcraft and sorcery? Because there are certain drugs that put us in a frame of mind where demonic influence comes into our lives. And I'm not talking about ibuprofen, all right? We're not talking about ibuprofen and just regular drugs. These are mind-altering drugs that our kids think are okay. Drugs that put us out, make us high, get us drunk, get us into another frame of mind. Illicit drugs, hard drugs. I know I used to be a drug abuser before I was a Christian. And I opened myself up to all kinds of demonic forces that were self-destructive. I did things I would never thought I would have done before as I was instigated and just thought, oh, well, why not? When I became a Christian, I had to denounce all that kind of stuff in my life. Those things got a handle on me. I started to get into astrology. I started to get into moving into things with people dealing with witchcraft and witches and things like that I would have never associated with before. But just lead you down that dark, dark path. And I'll tell you, I was in some very dark, dark places. Thank God He set me free. Amen? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you might declare the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ha ha! Isn't that great? That's what God does. So, Jesus, when He confronted the demon, what did He do? He rebuked it. He silenced it and He rebuked it, told it to leave. And it left. These are spiritual beings. When He came to Peter's mother-in-law, this is very interesting. What does He do when He comes to Peter's mother-in-law who has a high fever? He rebukes it, speaks to the fever, and the fever leaves. It leaves her. Now, are all fevers induced by demons? No. You can have fevers from infections. You can have fevers for different reasons. But some of them are. Demons can bring fevers upon you. In our family, we pray against fevers before we go to the Tylenol. And it's amazing how many times fevers leave people in our family. I've prayed for our children. I prayed for my wife, Marty, sitting there in hot, hot, hot. And as we're praying, the fever just leaves. I never know if it's a demon or not, but if it's a demon, it has to leave. Praise God for that. That saves us on all the medication. But if it's not a demon, then, Lord, maybe we need a healing. If God chooses to heal, great. If he doesn't, we take medication. Go see Dr. Lipke. God's provided Dr. Lipke for us. But there are spirits. There are spirits that are very active. This is what God's word is revealing to us, this whole realm. Jesus healed and delivered those who were oppressed by demons. And they came out shrieking, "I know who you are." And he silenced them and out they went. Do you think all the demons packed up their bags and left when Jesus rose from the dead? Okay, it's over. Show's done. Let's all get out of the world. No, they didn't pack up and leave when Jesus rose from the dead. They're still actively involved here until he comes again. They'll be in hell throughout all eternity. They know their time is short. God gives us a revelation of life here, brothers and sisters, and what's going on. And I'll tell you, I've moved very slowly into this realm. I'm a very practical guy. When I first started to read these things, I thought, oh, I don't know, that's kind of getting out there. But I'll tell you, in 37 years, God has convinced me. Satan is real. His demons are real. We have authority over them. And that's the last part of today's message. What impact did Jesus' example of dealing with demons have on his disciples? His disciples were to continue the work of healing and deliverance. In Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus called his disciples together and sent them out, the first words that he had to them, he said, and he called his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. First thing they were to do, not proclaim the kingdom right away, not go out and do anything else, deal with the demonic forces right away. That's something you don't hear a lot in Christianity today. When we're praying, Lord, let those spirits be bound over that person. Open up their minds to be able to receive the gospel. Lift that veil that Satan has over their eyes. Father, in our marriage, when Marty and I have learned, when we start not hitting on all cylinders, anybody here ever get in disagreements with your spouse and just the misunderstandings and little things hit us wrong? Okay, nobody here but my wife and I. Sometimes we just have to communicate more clearly, but there are times when we have to just say, Lord, let's just stop. Marty, let's just stop. Or she'll just say, Doug, let's pray. And we just have to say, get out of here, Satan, because they confuse us. And it is amazing if there's demonic influence, all of a sudden that leaves and we say, okay, now we can understand each other. These are forces there. Cast them out and heal every disease and affliction. Turn with me to Acts 16. We have a couple more minutes here. I'd like you to see where this is so you know I'm just not coming up with all this here. All right? We teach the word. Amen? If it's in the word, we take it as truth. What I say means nothing. What God says means everything. And here you have the disciples. Now Jesus has risen from the dead. They've been trained in dealing with demonic forces. The apostle Paul knew this. And so here they are in Acts 16. Paul and Silas are going through Philippi. And as they were going to the place of prayer, they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. So they were using her in business. She followed Paul and us, crying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And she kept doing this for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. Huh. So were her words right? Her words were right. "These men are proclaiming to you the Most High God and the way of salvation." But her spirit was wrong. She wasn't honoring God with what she was saying. And Paul got annoyed with this girl and said, "Come out of her in the name of Jesus." And you know who didn't like that? Her business owners. They went and had Paul beaten up and thrown in prison, which, praise God, started the Philippian church, Church of Philippi. But see, they were dealing with these things because he understood that realm. Last scripture, go to Mark chapter 16. Mark's Gospel chapter 16. And here we are today, here in River City, walking with the Lord. We're going to leave this room today. What are we going to do with what we hear today? Now, I don't look for a demon around every bush. I don't think everything is demonic. I think a lot of it is our flesh. But we have to understand we are influenced. If we're not walking with God, if we're not living in His Word, if we're not focused on Him every day, there are forces that want to influence our thinking. They want to divide the church. I believe demons are involved in every church division. Every time there are bad feelings, every time there's criticism and gossip and negativism, demons are always involved in all of that. They don't want unity in the body of Christ. So we've got to be alert to these things, be able to send them running. Here in Mark chapter 16, says, Jesus appeared to his disciples after he had risen from the dead, and there in verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. What's the first sign? They will cast out demons. First, right out of the chute. Is that important to God that we understand that? And they will speak in new tongues. Wow. And they will pick up serpents with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. Paul, when he was on the island of Malta, was bitten by a snake, supposed to kill him. It didn't hurt him, because God wasn't his time to go yet. If it's your time to go and you get bit by a rattlesnake, you can go home to be with Jesus. But if it's not your time to go, you won't. And they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. And so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed his words with accompanying signs. Isn't our God great? Praise God. Let's bow for prayer here as we close this morning. As we take his word to heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And just be thinking a moment about God's word. What I say means nothing. What God says means everything. Not thinking about what I necessarily say today or my personal experience, but what is the word of God saying? Thank you, Father, for the truth that your word reveals to us. You said if we continue in your word, we're truly your disciples, and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the insights that you give us into life and how to walk in the abundant life that we have in Christ. We give you praise for this today. And right now, as we're in an attitude of prayer, is there anyone here this morning and you have felt some oppression in your life, some darkness in your life, maybe a dullness in your spirit, can't figure out what it is? Could be demonic activity. If you are feeling anything like that, could you raise your hand? Just let me see it and put it on. Yes, thank you. Yes, other, yes, yes, yes. There are others? Thank you, Lord. Several here today. That you know something is going on in your life. First of all, if there's anything in your life that you've given Satan access to, get that out. Ask God's forgiveness. Denounce it and get it out. When I became a Christian, I had to denounce every bit of activity that I had allowed myself to be involved in. Because we open up doors sometimes. And Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you. And as a congregation right now, we pray for these. We pray for that person next to us too. But we pray for these individuals who have indicated that they feel oppression. Father in heaven, let that thing be broken in the name of Jesus. And we command every demonic spirit that is attacking our brothers and sisters to be gone right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the power that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. And oh God, we pray that you would fill them with your spirit. Fill them with praise to you. Fill them with the word of God. Give them wisdom as they leave this room. Oh God, as far as what to do. Maybe there's activities they need to begin that are toward you. Maybe there's things they need to add to their lives. Maybe there's things they need to get rid of in the house. Whatever it might be, Lord, let them walk in obedience to you and hold nothing back from you. And we thank you and praise you for this. If anyone's just feeling that oppression or depression, Lord, let that be broken in the name of Jesus by your power, by the power of your Spirit. Cause our brothers and sisters to walk in the freedom that you've given us. Thank you and praise you for that, Lord. And let them learn to take thoughts captive. You said the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power for tearing down strongholds and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. And we give you praise. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room or listening to this message by another means, and they have never become a follower of Christ, maybe you've said you believe in God, but you know you've never followed Jesus, and it's time to commit your life to him. You are in the realm of Satan now. You can't get out of that on your own. Only Jesus can deliver you. You can come to him today. The Holy Spirit may very well be drawing you. Don't leave this room without giving your life to Christ. Talk to me, one of the ushers, one of the worship team members, anybody you know that is a godly Christian here. Say, today I'm giving my life fully to Christ to follow him with all my heart. You can enter into an eternal relationship with Jesus today. And if you're listening to this message by another means, right where you are, call upon the Lord, ask his forgiveness. Find a church that is proclaiming the truth of God's word. Find a Christian that you know that is a true believer. Have them pray with you. Begin your walk with God. We thank you for this, Lord. Lord, thank you for this morning. And thank you for this time in your presence. And now, Father, receive this last song as we lift it up to you as a declaration of who you are. And we give you thanks for all these things today in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.